a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. NCAA tournament rolls on. And joining us now, Connor Pay, kind enough to join us. BYU in the middle of spring ball, anchoring that offensive line. Connor, how are you?
Hey, Connor.
Good. How are you guys?
Man, it's good to catch up with you.
Good to hear your voice. How much, I mean, you've been doing this for a minute. How, what is spring ball like for you, for a veteran on this team?
Well, I mean, spring ball is just an opportunity, you know, to hone in on, you know, things you've been working on. And, you know, you kind of go through, you do your self-scout at the end of the season, go through, find all your weaknesses and have things you want to focus on for spring. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun to just be able to focus on some of those things and continue to be great at the basics, but also have some things, you know, that you want to improve on that you can focus on for spring. So
Connor, did Blake Freeland just sit there and practice his vertical all the time, or did he? Because he goes to the combine and sets a combine record. Were you surprised at the numbers he put up?
No, not at all. Not at all. I had seen it before, so that is his PR for his vertical. I knew he'd get something close to that. I didn't know he'd make it all the way to 37, but I knew he would get close.
Well, his 10-second split was incredible, too. How much emphasis are they putting on those 10-second splits for you guys now?
A lot, especially, you know, with, you know, Doc Main working with us now and Colby Clawson with our sports science team. We spent a lot of time working on that burst and, you know, just being able to be explosive out of a stance. So but Blake's kind of always had that.
Man, he's an insane athlete.
No, it's incredible to say the least. So what is your points of emphasis? What are you guys working on? What do you hope to get accomplished here in spring ball?
Well, I think as a unit, you know, obviously there's a lot of new faces. And so I think just gelling together as a unit, getting everybody on the same page, everybody up to par, you know, because it's a little staggered right now in terms of the level of play for people. And so trying to get everyone up to par has been kind of the focus of spring, and kind of mixing and matching, you know, seeing who can step up and fill spots. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun to see who has and who hasn't.
So, Connor, we had Jay Hill on yesterday, and Jay's bringing a new style of defense, and you're seeing it firsthand because you're practicing against basically what BYU is going to be running through the season. How much different is this defense that you're going against? Not the personnel, just the scheme and what you're seeing and different blitzing and movement up front. How much different is it from what you saw in your previous springs?
It's a lot different. I mean, especially like with the defensive line, you know, their scheme is a lot different. Playing a lot more four down, you know, responsibility number one is to penetrate and disrupt the line of scrimmage. and a lot more cover one, cover zero pressures that come with that. And, I mean, when you can play cover one and when you can play cover zero, that frees up the backers to do a lot of fun things and run a lot of blitzes. So it's definitely been a lot different in a really good way.
Tougher to block against?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's different. It's hard to say whether or not it's tougher because our old defense, it was just they did some funky things, a lot of movement, which can be challenging. But I think on a play-by-play basis, this defense is definitely more challenging to play against because they're always sitting their gaps. They're always in the right position. I mean, Coach Hill is bringing an awesome energy. I have so much respect for him. And just already the job he's done in just a couple months he's been here. So, yeah, this defense is definitely more challenging. It's great for us. Opportunity to get better.
Connor Pay joins us. What's your early impressions of Keaton Slovis?
Great. Great leader. You can just tell he's a veteran and he's played at the Power 5 level. I mean, he was able to come in, pick up the offense really fast. And he's been awesome. He's gelled really well with the team and already has a lot of respect from his teammates and from the coaching staff, too. And he's actually my roommate as well. So I get a chance to hang out with him a little bit, and he's just an awesome dude. He's a stud.
Is he fitting in Provo okay?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He enjoys it so far. I mean, it's kind of funny because he did that podcast or that interview talking about Provo after they played here when he was at USC. And kind of hearing his opinions on that show is kind of funny that now he's here. But no, so far, at least, he said that he's loved it so far.
So, Connor, are you going to be playing all center, or are you going to still look at some of the guard positions, or are you all center all the time right now?
I'm all center all the time right now. So I think that'll probably change in fall, just because Paul isn't with us right now. He's just recovering. And so when he's back, they'll probably mix and match us a little bit and see kind of where we end up and what fits the best with the O-line unit.
Do you enjoy that? Is that where you prefer to be?
Center?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Just because it's kind of been my emphasis for the last year and a half or so. So it's kind of nice to just stay with what I've been working on and where I played all of last season. But, you know, I mean, my redshirt freshman year, I started at right guard for the first half of that season. So, like, I can do guard, too, and I love guard. It's fun to play. But, you know, being center is just a little bit different. And, you know, I've kind of gotten used to that, just like the center mindset as well. But, no, whatever the team needs, you know, I'm happy to do it. So we'll see what happens in the fall.
How's it been, Connor, adjusting with these transfers that come in? Because this is fairly new. I guess you've been dealing with it for a couple of years now, but Waylon Lapoyo, who comes out of Utah State, Paul Miley, as you were just talking about, coming out of Utah. How is it to deal with those guys? Because back in the day, we used to ban up against them, and we didn't want our buddies to lose their jobs, and nowadays you got to accept them and bring them into the fold, don't you?
Absolutely. And I mean, the way I see it, it's like, look, if a transfer comes in and he's better than you, then that's on you for not being a better player. So, I mean, that's kind of, it's your responsibility to elevate your play if you don't want to lose your job. Because we're going to bring in, and especially with this era of the transfer portal, we're going to bring in as many great players as we can. That's how you build great teams. And that's how you foster competition. You know, I mean, when I think about, like, my first year, that whole second unit, all the backups was me, Blake Freeland, Harris LeChance, Joe Tukuwafu. We were all backups, and we were trying to push the ones every day for that spot, and that really elevated the team as a whole and prepped us to step in the next year. So I think that's the cycle that has to continue to be followed, is you have to push the people in front of you to get the best out of them and to get the best out of yourself. So if a transfer has to come in to do that, or multiple transfers, then so be it. We're going to try to be the best team that we can regardless.
Last thing real quick, Connor. Have you made more or less money in NIL than you thought you would when you heard the announcement?
Well, that's hard to answer because with the NIL, I've been able to help start a couple of companies. And so I think that's a little bit different. NIL has allowed me to do that, but it's not necessarily specifically NIL money. I'd say I've definitely made more than I thought I would, for sure. As an O-lineman, I didn't think I was going to make hardly any money.
You thought those quarterbacks are going to get all that money.
Any dollars.
Yeah.
I get excited with any dollars.
Hey, people love O-linemen too, man. Don't think you're underappreciated.
We love you, Connor.
Absolutely. Connor, appreciate it, man. That. Thanks for your time.
No problem. Have a good one.
That's Connor Pay, offensive lineman, center for that BYU football team.
So I think...
guys are out there starting companies now.
Company-wise, I think what that means is before you couldn't make money. What was the old rule? There was something you couldn't make money, obviously on your name, but you couldn't endorse your own company or something like that. Like if you were an arts and crafts guy, you couldn't mold out ashtrays and sell them.
Yeah.
And now you can.
It's a weird world we're living in, man.
It is.
It's crazy.
It's a good one.
It is good. I'm glad.
If he can start a couple of companies and make some money, he should be able to do that.
I don't disagree with that at all.
It's weird that they didn't allow that back in my day.
Here's the thing. Oh, I know. The thing that I think is just dirty is when, you know, a kid's sitting there at home, he's having a good career at a, you know, mid-major school, BYU's had it happen to them, everybody's had it happen to them, where you're just sitting, you're happy, you're hanging out with your friends, and all of a sudden you get a call, you're like, yeah, I'm from the, I'm from Alabama.
The
Collective of Alabama would like to offer you $1 million, son. You just need to get in the transfer portal and we'll get you paid. And you're like,
that does suck.
I just don't like that. I think that's dirty. But hey, you know what? It's the real world. Somebody calls, you know, if you're an accountant and somebody from a rival firm calls up and says, hey, are you happy over there? You're like, yeah, you know, pretty happy. People treat me well. It's nice. I'm able to pay the bills. Yeah, well, you're able to pay the bills, but do you want to get that boat? Because over here at Joe Schmuckatelli Accounting, we can double your salary. And you're like, well, shoot, I got to do that for my family. All right, joining us now, the great Craig Bowlerjack, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone, brought to you by Mountainland Supply, locations throughout Utah for all your HVAC, plumbing, waterworks, landscape, and agricultural irrigation needs. Check them out at mountainlandsupply.com. Bowler, how the heck are you?
Hey, Bowler.
Hey, hold on. I'm on the phone with Alabama. Hold on just a second.
Go get that money, Bowler.
That deal for hands? Okay.
Take me with you. If it's $1 million, let's go together.
Okay, yeah. Through the portal, is that what you're telling me? Okay. All right, buddy. I'll get back to you. That's kind of the way it works, man.
My name will be in there this evening, so
we'll
take the million.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I tell you, hard for coaches to kind of plan for the future if you got young men and parents involved and say, yeah, what's your best chance to get to that? And, you know the word is the next level.
Yes.
That's the one. What are you going to do for me to get my son to the next level? And that's where the interesting discussions begin. So, man, I tell you, it's crazy out there. Unreal.
Don't love it. But then again, it's hard for me to get after a kid for making a few extra bucks when it's all on the up and up. So, understandable. Yeah,
well, but again, that's not what we're upset about. That's not what Bowler's mocking. It's what you mentioned.
Yeah.
The power of these big collectives sway a kid. It's tough, and it would be tough as a parent to say your kid calls you, Mom, Alabama just offered me $1 million. And to us old folks, it's like, oh, $1 million to change your life.
Yeah.
You go. Take the money and go. But then you think about it, and you're like, no, you made a commitment, son. Let's ride out this commitment. Yeah, but I make $500 here. All right,
son. The thing is, though, the other school's hands and Scotty just can't compete with that high level. I mean, you know, my journey through Big 12, Pac-12, SEC country, and a little Big 10 in my broadcast days, you can see the difference immediately, you know, when you walk into his coach's office and you see high-level alums just sitting and hanging with the coach. You know what I mean? I'm not going to mention schools, but, you know, I've witnessed it. I mean, that was before any portal talk, but that was when the NCAA was always concerned about where was the money coming from, right?
Yeah.
You know, how did that young man, young woman, you know, get a new set of wheels overnight on a college student's kind of funds? if that's what you want to call them. But no, it's, you know, the NCAA is kind of out of business in some regards because they used to chase a lot of schools trying to find those guys and, you know, follow the money trail. And now since you can do it pretty much out in the open, it is what it is. And there's, you know, the alums who follow the big schools, the power programs, the P5s, and, you know, those schools, man, they've got people, you know, trailing behind saying, what can I do to help? And that's exactly what's going on.
Bowler, is your bracket still perfect?
Oh, of course. Yeah. How about that?
No losses?
No, you know, you're always looking for the upsets. And, you know, the first one was kind of that Virginia got knocked out by Furman. And then the big one that kind of put some memory back in my mind was about 2001, Iowa State, number 2, outed by number 15, Hampton. And now we got Arizona State, goodbye, right? Number 2 against Princeton. So it happens, you know? I think a few years later, I had 3-seed Kansas that was beaten by the Bucknell Bison. So it's that time of year where teams think they can, you know, run it to the end and be the, you know, be the Cinderella. You know, and my partner, you know, actually lived that. With the Big T and North Carolina State with Jimmy Valvano. So it's fun. You never know what's going to happen when you hit the floor. And, Scotty, you guys, you know, hey, congrats to Utah State getting to the dance. But, man, that 41-point second half and knocking down only 4 threes put you in a hole.
Yeah, it did. And Missouri going 6 of 7 for 3 in about a 5-minute span.
Oh, bang, bang, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just did them in. And, you know, it's interesting, and I was talking to the coaching staff afterwards. It's just, you know, when you watch games up close and you're with those you're with the Jazz every step of the way, and in these, you know, crazy playoff games or crazy emotional games, and the thing that always jumps out at me that people don't appreciate is the margin of error is so slim. Like, people look at that Utah State game and they'll see it was an 11-point game and Missouri pulled away, and they did. But there was a moment with about 9 minutes left, Utah State leads by 2, had all the momentum. And the best player on the court, this Kobe Brown from Missouri, hit back-to-back threes, just boom, boom, yeah, like that.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, a 2-point lead becomes a 4-point deficit, and then you're reeling. And when you just, like, momentum is a fickle mistress, and when you lose it, it's hard to get it back. And if you can't, the game's over at that point. And it's just, it's real. I mean, it's a fascinating, entertaining, a horrific part of sports that once you can't get that momentum back, it can get away from you in a hurry.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. You know, it was what happened to Utah State. It's what has happened to the Jazz off and on this year. But totally different scenarios, obviously. You know, that's collegiate versus the pros, and the Jazz have made multiple, you know, lineup changes and trades throughout this season. But yet, here they are still trying to, you know, get better, look to the future, but also, are they a playoff team? Are they going to be a play-in team? There's a good chance they could. A lot of fans say, yo. A lot of fans say no. So we just have to, you know, ride it to the end. We got a big 4-game homestand starting up tomorrow with the mighty Boston Celtics. Will kind of give us a little tune in to kind of see what, you know, what the rest of the way is going to be. But, man, coming off that 2-week road trip, I think that wore everybody out. I think it's going to be great to just get back home, play some quality teams. You get to see a surprising Sacramento team, and next week the Bucks. So we'll see if guys are resting, and just how much they want to play ball right now. I think that's the other issue for the NBA. What do you do with load management this time of year? And what do you do once you know you're in, you want to rest your superstars? And you got a lot of fans who paid some money, of course, to see Boston and the Bucks coming up this week. And, I hope, you know, you hope that, those high level, like the Tatums and the Giannises, are able to perform. So, I'm anxious to see where we go from here.
You think this 4 days off has been beneficial for this roster, Bowler?
Yeah, I think mentally. I really do. I, you know, look, physical part of it, I think everyone's used to that and they understand it. But I think the mental game, you know, it's got to make a point about, you know, how quick things can get away and how sharp are you mentally and how, you know, what's it like, you know, being worn down on the road and the hotels and, yeah, you miss family, kids, et cetera. But, you know, 7 or 8 days is the norm, but you start to getting in the 10, 12, 13 day range. That's over the top. And that'll be interesting to see if that happens again I don't know if 13-day road trips kind of fall into the category of not only load management, but, you know, what about the mental side of this game, too? It's not easy. I've never been on a near two-week road trip. I've been to the Olympics twice and spent 30-plus days away from home. And, you know, week three hits, and you don't know what to do, to be honest. So it wears you down.
Craig Bowlerjack joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jazz back in action coming up. But obviously, certainly a season that has probably been pretty unique for you, where a lot of Jazz fans didn't want this team to be successful, but then was successful, then got gutted at the trade deadline, and still finds a way to, you know, be really super competitive. And honestly, I mean, the entertainment value with this team is through the roof, and they're just so doggone likable, too.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I think you just hit it, the magic word, likable. They are. And I think fans around, you know, any sport, collegiate, you go into the pros, you know, there's a lot of talk, you know, load management upsets a lot of people. Resting a star when I paid money to go see them. But flip it to the Jazz, Hans and Scotty, bottom line is that despite all the changes with Gobert and Donovan, then just before the trade deadline, you move Mike Conley, who was a fan favorite, and just really the centerpiece of, you know, just being a pro. You know, he was the rock. And then he's gone with Beasley and Vando and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get, you know, strong play from new faces and players who have waited their turn. And I think that's bode well for maybe the future of this franchise. Walker Kessler is now a bona fide starter. Talen Horton-Tucker, they've had a better chance to evaluate who he is. He flirts with a triple-double, my goodness. Jazz still haven't had one in the regular season since Boozer back in 08, and you get Ochai Agbaji starting games, you know, 10 or 11 now in his pocket. So, yeah, there may be some woes, like, what are we doing? You know, I've heard that from fans. They ask me that constantly. But I think it's what Justin Zanuck said earlier this season was there's really no predetermined plan of what this team was going to do. It was an evaluation process. They've evaluated, and I think they probably are happy with some of the answers they've gotten. And also, I think there's a lot to be said about experience in this league. It takes two or three for some players to jump and understand who they are. Ben Simmons, I'm not sure what his career will be, but he struggled from the get-go. I think it's a mind game. It's a confidence game. And as you know, at a high level, the expectations can run you in or out of the league. And I think that Ochai, Kessler, Horton-Tucker and others, and even Chris Dunn, who's getting another look and signed for the rest of the season, those guys got valuable minutes in this season. I think they're probably ahead of the game as the Jazz look forward to next season, which, mind you, starts up in October. So it's, I think, in a way, a plus. You may not get the draft pick or the high pick that everybody thought they would be at, but, you know, they've got picks. They can still make moves. I think Danny Ainge still has a plan. And, you know, maybe you got one answer of who you got, what pieces stay, what pieces go. But also now you've got a potential to move up in the draft if you use your draft picks, if that's the way he wants to go. Or in the trade, in the sense of the trade, you know, off-season trades, and how he can, you know, use those picks to manufacture some, you know, the player or two they need to make to move on.
Bowler, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Hope that bracket gets back into a little bit of a groove, and we'll talk again here soon.
Yeah, it's fun time of year, man. It is madness, and that's the beauty of it. I don't have a clue who's going to win this thing, but Kansas looked pretty strong when I watched them. They really finished the season right strong. And what, Bama? Would you pick Bama as a potential?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, Hans, don't worry, pal. You know, I'm going to call Bama back, and I'll let you know later how that's going.
Bowler, can you cheer for Kansas, or is that Kansas State thing too much for you to cheer for those guys?
No, hey, you know what? Anything that's got a little bit of my hometown blood in it, you know, Missouri, that's where I was born, so I've always followed the Tigers as well, and I've always followed, you know, obviously the Wildcats, of course, but KU, it was tougher when I was younger, but now as I've kind of mellowed, I'm saying, okay, guys, that's good. Good job. Bill Self, good job. I hope, you know, and he's had a tough road the last couple of weeks as well. So that program's been under incredible stress. You have to applaud the way they're playing right now.
Bowler, you're the best. Thanks.
Thanks, Bowler.
See you guys soon. Take care.
You got it. There's the man himself, Craig Bowlerjack, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, the man who's going to save you a ton of money on exercise equipment. Jake's hanging out with us here in studio. And Jake, Frugal Fitness, how long have you guys been around? Kind of give us your background on how this whole thing got started for you.
Yeah, so 6 years of business, and it's been a wild growing ride, right? Throughout the 6 years of our business, we've really perfected our process and our relationship with our customers through this delivery and setup that we specialize in. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and we have nothing but high goals.
What was 2020 like for you?
2020 was special. It was.
Guaranteed. Yeah. It's shutting down every gym in the state, and all of a sudden...
Probably was nervous at first, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay.
Because it was about the same time of year.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right? Coming off of our big, successful winter.
It was exactly this time of year.
And then all of a sudden, it just stayed busy.
And you're thinking, because people had to build their home gyms. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. And I think a lot of people got a good start on their gym, but you know, people are hitting their workouts and they're starting to think, man, I'd like this machine, or I'd like this way. I'd like to add a couple of things. And Frugal Fitness is a way to do it for a very, very good price.
Well, and going back to that era, that 2020, we're now selling a third and a fourth machine to a lot of those people that bought the first back then. So the home gym concept, a lot of the times folks think that, okay, what does a home gym mean? It means a whole outfitted gym. Not necessarily. Let's start off with one piece of equipment, your favorite piece of equipment, the one that you're going to use the most, and then we start to grow into other stuff that you want to use more.
You know, not only do you sell, but it also feels like you're a bit of a consultant, too, on what people want to achieve and their goals and where they're starting from, and you can help out in that regard.
Yeah, people will ask all the time, whether it's coming off of an injury or something like that, and we know these machines so well that we can give them advice of, okay, customers in the past have enjoyed this particular elliptical because it's a little bit of a different rotation than another one. And yeah, we love to consult and try to find the right fit for people.
So you offered this to our listeners, and I want to continue to reiterate, because I don't know how often Scotty and I are going to get a chance to do this when you're not here. If somebody spends $799 at Frugal Fitness at frugalfitness.com, that's FRUGLLFitness.com, you're going to give them a free upright magnetic bike.
Yeah.
That is an incredible value and a great piece of workout equipment.
It is. It's a really, really good offer. And again,
and that comes with the delivery and the install.
It does.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's how much I enjoy being here today.
Well, I know, but this is such a great opportunity for people just to bring this full round. Let's say you are looking for a treadmill. Mm-hmm. Most of your treadmills are going to be about $799
right.
plus.
Sure.
So you buy a treadmill, you're going to get a bike delivered with your treadmill.
And you know, when you're working on a treadmill and you're working on a bike consecutively, side by side, you work so many other muscles. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It could be date night. It could be whatever, with working out with one of your kids. I know Rock has these awesome accolades going ahead. Working out with him, doing something combined, maybe you push each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Having two pieces of equipment is kind of fun for that.
It's great for that. And you're going to get a free bike. And all you got to do is when you're going through the purchase process online, in the comments section, just put, I heard John Hanson, Scotty.
Yep.
This is going to have to be a specific request because this is a big time giveaway.
Yes. Mention Hanson Scotty and you'll get that free bike with a purchase.
Just percentage wise, you don't have to get into the details on the numbers, but on percentage wise, how much are you saving people on this equipment?
You know, we're saving at least 20% and in a lot of cases more. 20 to 40% is kind of our average discount off of retail.
And I know that you got to use that scratch and dent logo label on them, but let's be honest, some of this stuff is just like
incredible
quality.
It's incredible quality. And talking about saving too, is we also save people's backs and their relationships by carrying this stuff into their homes.
Delivery and setup,
that's worth its weight in gold and not adding a bunch of extra cost to that.
If you've never moved a piece of workout equipment, you have no idea what this is saving you.
Not fun.
Let us do the hard part.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yep.
Go to frugalfitness.com, FRUGLL.com. That's frugalfitness.com right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports Zone.
I love it. where you can listen to The Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming The Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I'm about to lose on this TV, man. Find a game, you're going on like, hey, now you need to activate this. Jeez. Done with it. Hans and Scotty, good, the bad, the ugly, all brought to you by Zero Res. Now's the time for you to get those carpets cleaned the Zero Res way. Right now, call 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. Or schedule online at ZeroResSaltLake.com or ZeroResDavisWeber.com.
All right, the good for today, Scotty. Number one, Detroit doesn't know how to keep a good football team together, apparently. Because they just let Jamal Williams slip through their fingers. Jamal Williams signed a multi-year contract with the New Orleans Saints. And the reason I talk about this is because Detroit, yeah, they've got some great pageantry, some incredible history with some great running backs. There's no question.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best running backs in the history.
Sorry, I thought you were going to be talking. You're talking as a team in a franchise.
No, like, no, 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 no. Running backs.
Okay.
They may have some history with a really good one in particular. But they just let a guy that led the entire NFL in rushing touchdowns last season, they let him go. They let him slip through their fingers, and I can't believe it. It's a $12 million contract over 3 years. $8 million of the 12 is fully guaranteed. But Jamal Williams is going to be reuniting with Taysom Hill, and they'll be in New Orleans doing their thing. And I'm happy for him. He's put up 1,700 yards and 20 touchdowns in 2 years with Detroit. But they let him go.
Just look, but here's the thing. You know, you understand that Ezekiel Elliott just got cut by the Cowboys, which, you know, Zeke's hit is well past his prime, but it just goes to show you that NFL teams just don't value the running back position much.
At all.
And they realize, okay, you did good things for us, but we also know that your shelf life is next to nothing, and we will use you, abuse you, rush you a bunch, and then understand your body will break down, and we're going to kick you to the curb, because we can find somebody who we feel like can replicate that same kind of performance, but do it cheaper.
Yep. It's like a really tough position to thrive in.
If you want your kid to go to the NFL, do not hope that he's a running back. Obviously, quarterback, left tackle, defensive end. Like, there's a lot of positions where you can have longevity and make a ton of money in the league. Guess what? Running back's not one of them. The day and age where Marcus Allen ran in the league when he was like 38 years old, those days don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Those players don't exist anymore. Frank Gore is not going to exist anymore. Like, that's an anomaly. You will play until you're about 25, 26, maybe pushing 30, and then they will kick you to the curb real quick.
Is that just because the physicality is, I mean, they're bigger and faster on the defensive side? I mean, why is the running back so diminished?
It's a good question. I don't know.
I have to imagine it has.
It's still like a really important. It's a really important position.
The body breakdown.
Yeah,
yeah. When you've got a good one, we had a good one in Indy with Edrin James. He was really good.
I thought you were going to say we had a good one in Las Vegas with Josh Jacobs. Something. Okay.
Whoa! Did they trade him too?
No, he's not.
Oh, he's still there.
Give it some time.
Give it the weekend.
He's going to have a. He probably has a St. Patrick's Day party, and McDaniels won't be invited, and he'll be traded tomorrow.
Then it's out. Scotty, I got a question for you, the bad.
All right, let's get to it.
Now the bad.
Okay, I want to take you back into the 80s and 90s NBA.
Okay.
Same arena setups, right? Fans are sitting courtside. You got guys, fans that are close to the game, right?
Yeah.
There's no change there.
No. I mean, there's more fans now. They've eliminated a lot of media seats and putting fans so closer. There's more fans, but there's always been courtside fans.
Have fans gotten that much worse?
Yes. Yes.
Than they were in the 80s and 90s? So in the 80s and 90s, fans didn't attack or scream or get nasty?
Oh, I think they did, but I think it's gotten far worse. Even just in the last 2 years, I think COVID, everybody was stuck at home, and now everybody comes out of their homes feeling entitled and angry and wanting to take out their emotions on everybody.
Well, it looks like they're taking their emotions out on the players on the court, because I have never seen so much interaction with the players and fans in the first 10, 15, 20 rows. And I don't know if you saw what happened with Jamal Murray last night, but he had to be held back. He was going after a fan, and the official was holding him back, and Nikola Jokic was holding him back. And apparently a fan said something that he took exception to. And it's not just that. And they brought law enforcement out, and I don't know what ended up happening with the fan, but we've seen multiple people kicked out of the arena by whether it's LeBron James or others. I just don't remember in the 80s and 90s fans getting that type of attention or reaction from players.
Well, I do think that the players have gotten to a point where they're like, we're not putting it up with it anymore. Like, I do think fans have always been mouthy. They've said really horrible and disgusting things. And I think players now are just being like, nah, I don't have to take this anymore. I want him out. Or, you know, I'm going to point at this guy, or I'm going to feel like I'm going to go up in the stands and threaten to go after him. And because I don't want to put up with it anymore.
The only reason I ask is because I just wondered, were NBA players better at putting up with disgusting
that
behavior?
I agree with. Yeah. I mean, you were...
Or was there not as much disgusting behavior?
Well,
I don't know which is true.
Let me ask you this, because you played a sport that was really close to the fans in the Arena League. How bad did that get?
It got horrible. It got horrible. I had my jersey grabbed, and because when you'd line up for kickoff, you'd line up the end zone right along the back wall.
Yeah.
And that's where they put the most drunk fans.
Yes.
And so they would get crazy.
That's because they wanted your jersey.
They were crazy, and they said some absolutely disgusting things, but I would laugh. And now I look at it and think, oh man, should I have been a little bit more aggressive about it? And I kind of felt like when the Malice in the Palace happened, and you would know this better than me because I was still doing my sports thing and I can't remember it real clearly. But didn't the NBA kind of handle that like, you players, if you ever touch the fan or you ever say anything to the fan again, we'll boot you out of this league?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of, hey, fans, you're causing problems. Now we've got our players that are coming up into the crowd to beat you up because you're loudmouths.
The players got the brunt of it, yes.
So I just kind of wonder where we're at as a society, because to be able to get under Jamal Murray's skin, something had to have been hurled out there, or his skin is getting so thin that maybe he needs to look in the mirror and say, oh, what am I doing here? What am I playing for? What should get under my skin?
It's probably both. I think players need to have a thicker skin, and also fans need to dial it down a little bit. But what's the... Like, the thing is, if it's personal, if you're going after family members, if it's obviously racially driven, like, there are certain things you just can't cross.
What about weight?
Well, personally, I don't think that's crossing a line, but I don't.
I'm just wondering, what is the line?
Yeah.
You know, and I think fans probably do, too, because the fans, in their mind, they hear the organization and they hear that everything's points to, hey, get them off their game.
Yeah.
Well, how do I get them off our game? Oh, I can swing a dead rubber chicken around and have an umbrella and flop it around like one of the crazy.
Are you saying the good doctor is not, shouldn't be there? Is that too much? Is that too far?
I'm saying that
Don't you dare.
I don't remember a lot of people even acknowledging the good doctor.
Okay, sorry.
I don't remember a lot of people pointing at him and saying, hey, get him out of here, until maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I think he maybe took a little bit more heat later, but...
Yeah, but the dude's throwing around a rubber chicken. Come on. If you can't handle that, then let's maybe... Maybe the problem is you.
It's almost like he kind of became like kind of like the dancing lady up at the U.
Well, I want to be fair to the players, but what it feels like it's pointing to is the players have become thin-skinned and they hear too much around them and they pay too much attention to what's around them instead of just.
Did the fans cross the line with Hoke in Fresno?
No. No. The chant, 58, lose some weight. No. We laughed. Hulk got upset. It threw him off his game a bit.
72, I hate you.
That's going too far.
The 58, lose some weight, it was not friendly in Fresno. And I still hate the place. But no, we heard it. We were in the huddle. And we heard it. And I look over and I'm like, oh, he's like, dude, it's these stupid bib jerseys. They make us look fat. And he's like, dude, do you think I look
like,
fat?
I'm you're like, no, I don't hear anybody say anything about 72 right now.
Why are you saying us, bro? Yeah. Listen to the chat. Hey, shh, shh.
Seems pretty specific to me.
It's not BYU lose some weight. It's not defensive line lose some weight. Don't drag me into this. But no, I don't. Fans are, they can be pure evil.
Yeah.
But that's, they're supposed to get us off our game.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, what you may have missed, or excuse me, a little whole world news next right here on the Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Get out to the Zone phone. Joining us now, he covers the Cougs for KSLSports.com. Mitch Harper with us.
What you've seen in spring football, has that changed at all your expectations for the upcoming year and where BYU can finish in the Big 12?
A little bit. You know, I'm feeling more optimistic that BYU can be a tough out week in and week out. I would still say they're probably in that 4 to 6 win range. But I do feel like the top end talent is better than maybe I expected going into spring. And I think the coaching can help that cause too. I think BYU can be one of those teams that's in a lot of toss-up 50-50 football games. I think that I'm feeling better about them being just competitive on a weekly basis. And I think that's a good metric for BYU to be at. Yeah, I just feel a little bit better through what I've seen thus far that they can be a tough out for proven commodities in the Big 12.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
Is another edition of Whole World News right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We span the globe, try to find something at least a little humorous. The mood's lightened up over the last week.
Yeah, it has. Quite a bit.
A lot of death and destruction last week.
It got dark there for a while.
It did get dark.
Scotty, how much stealing have you done in your life?
Oh, why do we do this?
I'm just wondering.
Last time you asked me these questions, then it's like, oh, you make pipe bombs or...
You did make a pipe bomb.
And I did it. It wasn't a pipe bomb.
And I didn't even ask how many pipe bombs have you made in your life, right?
There was, but it started with one of these little questions.
How much stealing have you done? Have you stole a lot in your life?
Not that I can recall.
I'm just going to leave open air.
What?
I pretend there's mesh between us and you can't really see me and you're just... needing to get something off your chest.
Well, I mean,
to
I don't
get
know.
It straight with the man.
Nobody's
upstairs.
Listening right now.
Let's see. One thing I can safely say: I never stole rum from a rum cabinet. I never stole extra inventory from a sandwich and fudge shop. So yeah, I feel pretty good.
What are you doing?
You know darn well what I'm doing.
You're giving Lloyd's life story. Don't do that.
Is it really?
Lloyd, have you ever been a thief in your life?
No. I did steal mom and papa's car young when I was about 15. I took it for a little joyride.
Yeah, that's called borrowing, though. That's not borrowing. Stealing.
It wasn't really stealing. Yeah, I didn't return it.
Stole the gas. That's about it. So if you guys were to steal, would you handle it like this lady did that got caught red-handed in Northside, Cincinnati?
Good. A suspect in a theft case in Northside helped make things much easier on detectives when she returned to the scene of the crime.
Ken Brown is outside of District 5 headquarters, where detectives say they're no longer investigating. He has more on the strange conclusion.
The couple that lives in the house tell us that they filed a police report here with District 5 and had to email them last night after what was taken was returned along with an apology note. This is easily one of the strangest thefts the North Side has ever seen. Watch as this woman walks up off the street, carefully moves around patio furniture, and delicately folds up the rug from this porch. The slow-moving suspect even takes the time to shake the dust out of the rug and into the flower bed.
We thought it was weird, too.
Yeah. It looked like she was here with a purpose, and it almost looked like she was stealing it back from us, like we had stolen it from her in the first place.
Caitlin Jarvis and Jim Gepfrick didn't know what to think when they watched their doorbell camera footage back.
She put all of her furniture back, and then she just folded it up and left with it.
Jarvis can laugh about the situation now, but after this happened, she put up a post on social media seeking answers.
People that were angry, how could this woman just walk on your porch in broad daylight and steal your rug? And then there was the people who were trying to reason with it, like thinking it was hers or thinking that maybe she got scammed on Craigslist.
Caitlin's post must have reached the woman who took the rug, because exactly a week after the rug disappeared, it was neatly placed back on the porch and the doorbell camera rolled again as the suspect returned the rug and identified herself as the woman who mistakenly took your rug. That was in a letter decorated with balloons.
I am exceedingly apologetic for taking your rug. It was an honest mistake. I was trying to pick up a free rug from a Craigslist offer, and I obviously got the wrong one. A College Hill neighbor.
Jim, who we talked to there, said that initially he was bummed because the rug tied the whole porch together. But all is as it should be now. Reporting outside of District 5 headquarters, Ken Brown, Fox 19.
All right, are you buying it?
No. She had it for a week. And she saw her, I'm sure she saw her face on every news channel. It was like,
And she knows she had been scouting this rug for a while.
She's walked by and thought, that's
really nice.
Beautiful blue and cream rug. That would look really nice on my porch.
Make my porch pop.
It would bring my porch together, but guess what? It would bring it together for free. And then she saw.
I don't know. I bet it's an honest mistake.
Okay, then why not bring the rug up, knock on the door, and say, "Hi, I'm Cheryl. I'm Karen from across the street."
Because she saw the police were involved.
Don't bring Karen into this. Don't do that.
Whatever, Cheryl, you know what? Karen.
Yeah, don't.
Or Veronica. Whatever. But I would have... Okay, if I was trying to collect a Craigslist rug, first of all, I'm not just going to move furniture that's on the rug and then roll it up and take it. That's stealing. But let's say I do, and then I see my mug on TV, and I'm like, whoa. I call the cops. I'm like, hey, it's a mistaken thing. Let me just show you. This Craigslist ad had a rug right next to this house. I thought it was this house.
Yeah, but she brought balloons. If you're just a petty thief about ready to get caught, you don't bring balloons.
But balloons really says I'm sorry.
That's a good way of saying that, you know what, that's my bad.
I bet you she stole those too.
Meanwhile, the dollar store is like, hey, we lost, we got like 10 packets of balloons that just got stolen.
Yeah, man, I probably call law enforcement, and then I go knock on the door, I'm like, hey, and then I see if the news cameras can do like a, hey, I'm Hanson. I took that rug, but I didn't know that it was theirs. It was a Craigslist deal.
Yeah, but if you bring it back, like, hey, it's an honest mistake. Like, I don't believe you. I'm calling the cops right now. And you're like, oh, man, I just wanted to drop the rug back off.
Call them. I've got the other rug right here. It was your next door neighbor's. but I don't continue to conceal my face. Don't leave my name on the apology letter. For sure, she stole the rug and got caught.
I don't know.
It's a creative way to get out of
it
trouble.
Is. It is. All right, Jake's hanging out with us from Frugal Fitness. And, Jake, there's so many people that are changing their lives for the better. They know they need to get to a gym, but there's some people that just don't want to go to a gym. They want to be able to have that kind of gym-like equipment, but they want to do it from home, but they're thinking it's too expensive. Well, you've solved that.
We have. Convenience is key, right? And, you know, I look back at this good, bad, and ugly segment.
Yeah.
I love the good, bad, and ugly segment every day. And sometimes it feels like we all are wearing that 58 jersey. 58 loose. Yeah. No matter where we are in our life, we can always
do it. It feels like a whole crowd is chanting at you.
Yes.
Yes, that's actually true.
Sure, sure. You know, we sometimes get a little bit in our own heads. And exactly what you mentioned, Scotty, sometimes there's opportunities where home fitness equipment is maybe a little bit too expensive, but it's so convenient. So people just break the bank to get that convenience. Well, through us, we take care of that part. We really give a good deal.
You know, what's funny is, and kind of a ridiculous thing, I'm sure I stand in this alone, but you could basically see my church attendance based off of my eating habits for a week.
Right.
Because if I'm not fitting in my white shirt, I'm not going.
Sure.
Because I know that people at church are going to be like, geez, there's Olson. He's got a problem.
Man, it's sticking out a little bit.
But you know, you get on a treadmill, you get your workouts in, you feel better about yourself. And to think that you can do it for a 20% discount or a 30% discount, or in some cases a 40% discount.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you go through a service like Frugal?
Sure. And right now,
why would
now,
you get your equipment anywhere else?
I agree 100%. And on top of that, we'll give you a free bike today.
That is
75 listeners.
That's the thing that really blows me away is you're doing this. I mean, that is just incredible with the opportunity to get some great equipment and then get a bike, a high quality magnetic bike for free.
Yep. You know, and again, I can't talk enough about the convenience factor. I love going to the gym, but there's a lot of times where life gets crazy.
No, man.
And it's just so nice to get a workout taken care of at home.
For those of you out there that do the gym membership, gyms have a lot of great services and things, but if you haven't had a home gym experience, being able to just work out in your house, the time it saves you driving alone that you can add into maybe a little extra on the dumbbells or a little bit extra on the treadmill, it's incredible. And when you've got a place like Frugal Fitness that can help you with the cost of that, kind of build that home gym out, it just makes perfect sense. And to be able to get this free bike, this is how you do it. It's frugalfitness.com, frugalfitness.com, or you can just Google Frugal Fitness. And it did pull it up for me when I initially Googled it about 3 or 4 days ago. And it'll take you to that website. When you go to order your piece of equipment, if it's $799 or more, or combined equipment,
correct,
$799, you're going to get this free bike that it's just a great exercise bike.
Yeah.
But you have to put in the message comment or the comment section when you're purchasing your order, I heard you on Hans and Scotty. I want the bike.
Heart emoji, Hans and Scotty.
Yep, I love it.
I don't know what that retails for, but that's a...
Yeah, $800.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm telling you...
You're giving people an $800 bike, right?
$800 bike, yeah.
That's ridiculous. So if you want a treadmill, you're going to get a treadmill and a bike today at Frugal Fitness.
And I like how your point, too, is, you know, you can exercise on a treadmill, but if the treadmill is the only thing you're doing... Mm-hmm. It'll lose its effectiveness after a while. You got to mix it up with other stuff, and that bike's a great way to do it.
Yep, absolutely. And Hans, you mentioned something a moment ago about the happiness factor. It's so much more than physical. Mentally, emotionally, we get better when we work out.
Yeah.
And a home is a great place to do that.
It's really simple. Go to frugal.com, frugll.com. That's frugll, fitness.com. Frugalfitness.com. Let's go. It's all right there available for you in 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.